As you know by now, my name is Hugh. I am Hugh Montgomery, an alcoholic. I qualify for doing what I'm doing right now by outliving a whole bunch of folks, primarily. Also, happy birthday to the Five Points crew. Time goes running by, and don't stop and think about what goes on during those years, and don't even really think too much about it running by, but I walked into the Five Points group some 40 years ago, the 8th of this coming June. If I would like to tell you that I have been sober since that time, but like a lot of other people, I had to wait for another few years to get sober for good. I had a real good long period of highly appreciated sobriety, and then I went out and tried to drink like a gentleman once again, which I'd never done in the first place. I'm going to tell you a couple of things, if I may, about this, because when I came in, AA itself was 19 years old. It hadn't even been named AA because the big book was just beginning to be distributed. And AA, the people who were there in that year of 1939, one in particular became my sponsor, and some others, quite a few that I knew. I may name a few people by their full name. They are now dead, and I think it should be recorded of what occurred. But I would also like to say something else in starting off. Tolstoy said one time that history is a wonderful thing if it were only the truth. Now, I would like, if there's anybody that can bring any corrections or additions to anything I say, please bring it to the folks at Five Points Group or bring it to me where we can get it down somewhere, because some of these things ought to be put down for those folks in the future. Two men met me the day I walked in, this particular Monday morning. And I came to AA like a lot of other people for the wrong reasons. I came because the law was after me and I needed to tell them to get off my back and everybody else to get off my back. But a man by the name of Brian Chancy, long dead, been born with red hair, been told he had a temper, so he acted like he had one. Brian greeted me. I'd been told 2 years before this, somebody pointed out Brian as somebody who was a disgrace to himself, his family, and his profession. He ought to be disbarred. They didn't know that he was 2 years sober at that time. So when Brian met me at the door, he was 4 years sober in AA. He spent a good bit of time with me, a retired railroad man by the name of Lube Robinson, who was probably one of the most gentle, loving men I'd ever known, also met me that day because Brian all of a sudden said, "I'm due in court. Lube, please spend time with this young man." And I was told my dual addiction didn't make any difference. You don't bring that up necessarily. If it rubs somebody the wrong way, that's their problem. Stay in AA because this will change your life. So what I was taught by these five men who were the beginning of AA in 1939 in the South was more or less as follows. Charlie Woolfolk became my sponsor. I'd known Charlie for years. I knew his children. I'd grown up with them. In fact, I came in that Monday morning because his oldest son told me that I could go to AA and probably get my life in order. We'd been drunk together over the weekend at my younger brother's wedding. What's going on? But here's, as I was told by Charlie, getting to know him real well over the years, and a few of these other people. Charlie and his good friend, Marion Hogan, George Sloss, another very good friend of his, Bill Bailey, Jim Carrington. How many did I name? Is that about five counting Charlie? I think it is. I think I named everyone. That they had been attending the Oxford group meetings that took place at the old Congregationalist Church here in Birmingham with the Dr. Mordecai pulling it together, trying to keep people gaining a better control of their lives by simply living by those basic tenets that supposedly all of us know, like the golden rule and all, if we ever thought of it. And they had not had been having much success. As I understand, Bill Bailey, who was the last of these five men to die, Bill was the only one that was having any success staying sober through the Oxford group. But these men used to meet every morning at the old Thompson's Cafeteria in downtown Birmingham, and they would try to help one another. And one particular morning, George Sloss came in a little late for their coffee group, and he had a clipping in his hand. The clipping had been mailed by a man who had gone to Chicago on business to his son, who should have been part of this group of five trying to change the life. This particular man never got sober. But he passed the clipping on to George, and George came running in and said, "Look what I have." And what he had was a little clipping from the old Chicago Sun that said, "There is a group of alcoholics helping alcoholics, living by the following 12 steps. And that was about the whole clipping. That was just about the thing. These people are staying sober, helping one another. So in about this time of the year of 1939, as best I can remember from what Charlie said, it was cool and it was rainy. They read this particular clipping, passed it around, talked to one another, argued a good bit like alcoholics like to do. And Charlie asked George to let him have the clipping, and Charlie went to the public library and tried to find out more about, it did mention Akron and Cleveland and New York, that this was happening in those cities and it was just being introduced into Chicago. And Charlie tried to find out more about whatever this was that was working for people when nothing else seemingly would. And he couldn't find anything. Looking at other newspaper clippings, looking at the Cleveland paper, looking at New York papers, trying anything he couldn't find. But he said that particular day that all of a sudden it came to him, because he read and reread these 12 steps, that this was, could very likely change his life. So the next morning, he and these other five men sat together and discussed a little too loudly, because after a few more days of these morning meetings, the manager of the cafeteria asked them to take their group, whatever it was, someplace else. These men were mostly businessmen with some little success in their life still, and one of them must have still been a member of the Birmingham Chamber of Commerce, because the Birmingham Chamber of Commerce gave them permission to meet in their little auditorium in what was then the chamber headquarters, which was downtown in what in most recent years has been called the Stallings Building and the Heritage Place, now boarded up like older downtown. I think you find it on the southwest corner of 19th Street and 1st Avenue North. They met there for a while, and then sort of outgrowing that and feeling that they were imposing upon the chamber, probably being told that they were imposing upon them, they leased two little rooms upstairs in 5 points south over what is the pancake, the house, whatever, the original house of pancakes or something. And that was the beginning of the being called the 5 Points Group. By this time, we're a year and a half down the road, and the first edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous had been out, and the press had started calling it Alcoholics Anonymous Pardon. And sure enough, we accepted that as the name, meaning AA accepted it. I think that they stayed in those quarters less than 2 years. No, it was a good bit less than that, because I'll tell you how they got out of it. George's Bridges, now dead too, George's family, his in-laws, own the old Terrace Court apartment building there in 5 Points South. There's a coffee shop downstairs there, diagonally across from Louie. And George's family made what had been the dining room of that big old apartment building into a area, it and the kitchen leased to what was by then the Five Points group of Alcoholics Anonymous. There were no other groups. There were no other groups in Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia. Georgia started about that time. Georgia's group started from another direction. Nathan, whatever his name was, that Levalier Venetian blind salesman that you read about in some things that traveled around the South bringing literature and mainly just broadsheets from New York and all, Nathan came around about that time. All of those five men got sober in AA. Four of them stayed sober from the day they received the clipping. Jim Carrington went out and drank for another couple of years. He got mad because they wouldn't let him bring a Catholic priest in and make him a member. So he had to go out and fight the whole thing for a while, and then Jim came in and stayed sober the rest of his life. George Bridges, after he came in, stayed sober the rest of his life. A man named Bill Jones that they bribed to get up from under the bushes up in the park near the courthouse and the library downtown. They bribed him with a pint. You can imagine that kind of bribing. Come to AA and we'll give you a pint. They promised George Bridges one, but he said he never got it. They were evangelists, you know. They were going out and straightening out things. They were going to get people out of the missions and any place else they could get them. Bill Jones stayed sober. He owned a printing company. He printed a great percentage of all the printing that AA groups had over this whole country for years. Two little booklets, particularly one called Who Me and How It Works. A Way of Life. A Way of Life. That's it. A Way of Life was one of them, and one called Who Me. Part of what came out of these books became part of some of the early bits of literature out of New York later. I bound to have left something out that I want to say, but that doesn't make a difference because if I follow these notes, this will go on forever. I would like to say that when they moved into this building, by this time, a few of the early females, and the males did not want to accept females into this thing initially. But a few of them were there. We had even what I used to call the AA auxiliary because we had no Al-Anon, and the AA auxiliary is pretty good too. Bill's printing company, by the way, everything he printed that he shipped all over this country and Canada, he shipped and printed and shipped at cost of any literature he did. So Street Printing Company itself paid quite a good amount towards the success of AA, just Bill's appreciation for it. Bill did, by the way, live the rest of his life sober. Five Points paid $50 a month for that big dining room and that kitchen. We had people who tended the coffee bar who fixed, even at various times, full meals, some very good ones. Health department would come in periodically and tell them they couldn't do it, and then they'd be off running again with somebody starting something else. But that went on for years, and really a great number of people would have their lunch at the Five Points Club every day. A woman named Connie ran it for a long time, and then a man named John, I don't remember Connie's last name. I've been trying to find somebody to tell me. I really don't. She was there when I got there. John Wright later ran it, cooked wonderful meals, every bit of it, fattening as all got out. These people are all dead that I mentioned, but none of them were very young. When I came in, there weren't many young people in AA, by the way. They used to talk about, I went to a meeting in San Francisco. I met a man or a woman 23 or something like that. I used to think it's wonderful now to see all these young folks in AA. And AA, of course, had great growth in later years through these recovery centers, but we didn't have any recovery centers. When we had this, we had no doctors that would see alcoholics. Hospitals would not admit anybody. We had five doctors in Birmingham that would occasionally see somebody who had something other than flu or God knows what alcoholics always had. One of them would see, we could take people in once a month, and then the next month he'd shake his head. I don't want to see any more of you. I just can't help you. I don't know what to do. We didn't have any treatment centers. We had a few sanatoriums. Hillcrest existed, but called Becton's. Lived off repeat business, by the way, mainly. I would go on because I can't tell you much more about those intervening 15 years between the time that I'm talking about and the time that I came in. I know that every one of you sat in an AA meeting, at least in your early exposure to AA, thinking, God, they've been sober 6 months. They've been sober 6 years. That's forever. Absolutely forever. I came in, and shortly after I was in, they had the 10th Southeastern and Alabama, what's now called Alabama Northwest Florida Convention, coupled with the 5 Points 15th anniversary. And I had a good heavy dose of AA, and it was a remarkable experience. And that sort of thing we used to thrive over. Before I got there, by the way, these people who were in AA used to travel. Even during the war, they would travel on the bus to other cities to help start groups. And at the time I got in 54, we had a downtown group, which had been the old North Birmingham group. We had a group in the western end of town, which met in Inslee, still the western group. We had a group in Bessemer, and that was it, other than a sometimes group in Homewood. And every other place you went to look for the AA, you had to drive either north to Decatur, or over to Ellic City, or down to Montgomery, or down to Selma. And there were no other groups in between. Tuscaloosa had a very good active group. Going towards Mississippi out 78, you had to go all the way to Tupelo to find another group, even in the 50s. But we lived going from one group to another with groups helping each other, being told, do not do missionary work, because if they don't want a group there, it won't thrive any more than you will stay sober. You cannot go and run a meeting for somebody else. They've got to want it and do it themselves, like you as an individual have to find your way. So this is more or less the way things worked in those years. And AA had pretty good growth, but it was somewhat slow. I went off and left the 5 Points group. Was induced by one of our members who is now dead into starting the Mountain Brook group. And I stayed active in both. And a number of us were over at the Mountain Brook group one night, and Charlie Woolfolk came over and he said, you people are going to have to make this your group and put your energies into this group if you want it to succeed, and quit thinking you can be members of 5 Points and come over here and do this missionary work. Either you're going to be it or not. And he said it in a much more polite way than I would ever have. I mean, it was couched in terms that were palatable. So I stayed pretty close to AA in 5 Points, but I did not attend with a phenomenal amount of regularity at that time. But I still had Charlie as a sponsor, as long as he lived. I still had all of my old friends there. I've got quite a list of people who are now dead and a few who are not that I will pass on because I think it would be of value to the group. I was back in Birmingham and sober once again after this short period of staying away in the late 60s, and I was back in Birmingham and sober again. And really, when I came back to AA, wondering whether or not my embarrassing myself was going to pass over to my relationship with AA, The Five Points group was what I really walked back into when I came back to Birmingham and came back to AA. And at that time, they were still meeting at the old Terrace Court club room, but some new owners wanting to remodel it were beginning to say at an unknown date, you're going to have to move out. And that's when the group went and found the Masonic Lodge there at Five Points where they meet now, a home that had belonged to Dr. Neighbors, and the family had been raised there. And at that time, they took over just the downstairs of the main building. The old stables, garages in the back had been the Birmingham Bridge Club, and it wasn't available to AA. And where's Cody? Cody painted a big black AA on the wall of that thing even before I think we had use of it or something like that, with an AA more or less logo of the triangle. And they took that building. And, oh, by the way, at the time we moved, we were only paying $75 a month, or the Five Points group was, for the quarters down at the apartment building. Jackie came into being because of the need that existed. The heavy utility cost, primarily more than the cost of renting the new quarters, caused them to have to create Jackie to be able to sort of underwrite having a meeting place. And in fact, Tom N. asked for some others for a meeting, and we met in his office and formed Jackie at that time. And Jackie was designed by, oh, by the way, the Five Points group had been offered two huge old houses over on the south side free at one time. One man had stayed sober for 80 days in AA before he died, longest he'd stayed sober since he was about Bonnie's age, yes, because he drank early like a lot of us did. And the family was so grateful for him having 80 days of sobriety that they offered a big old house to the group. And the group wouldn't take it and didn't figure out a vehicle for taking it. Somebody else offered another house. A retired school teacher offered them three, and I never did understand that because she didn't drink a drop in her entire life that I ever knew of. But I'm to the point of where I don't have a whole lot more to offer other than to say that at this time, we had people who had gone off and had started. A man named Raleigh and his wife Peg then. Raleigh had sobered up in Five Points, but he rolled all the way from Bessemer for every meeting, and he was there for the four meetings a week that they had at Five Points then. From Bessemer, he rode the trolley to downtown Birmingham and then up to Five Points. And Raleigh and Peg met in that club room, and they married in that club room, and then they moved on to his home out in Bessemer and were mainstays in the Bessemer group and helped start it, along with a real nice guy named George Garner, whose wife Ada was one of those good AA auxiliary members who used to stage some nice dinners and picnics for us. In fact, they kind of spoiled some of us. I'm bound to have left out of these notes I've written, I'm bound to have left out any number of things. But during the late 60s, when the federal government made insurance companies start treating addiction as if it were any other disease and started at least offering insurance for people to go into treatment, all of a sudden we had all of these recovery centers springing up. And God knows and God bless these, how these recovery centers have worked, some of them, because it's not an easy job. They have to make a profit, and yet at the same time, they've sent a world of people to AA and gotten a lot of people to AA in earlier stages in their addiction, probably, than they would have ever gotten here. And by doing that, probably got a bunch of us here who wouldn't have been here ever. I wouldn't have had an opportunity to be here. We heard a wonderful talk tonight. It talked about all of the things that nearly happened to one person that could have happened to any of us, these brushes with death. So God knows we are blessed lot And here are just 12 steps of AA. No program, no nothing, just 12 steps told four men to stay sober the rest of their lives, and one to get sober. And you hear people in Memphis, and you hear people in Jackson, Mississippi, and New Orleans, and all, still occasionally, or you'll hear a tape that was made a few years ago, somebody making reference to Jim Carrington getting on the bus and riding up here and helping hold meetings and stay a weekend at his own cost or something like that, just to see that AA was offered. I sometimes, in having all these great, wonderful treatment centers and all, and other programs that help get people here, I kind of wish that everybody had a chance to do the 12-step work that used to be such a great part of AA, the 12-step work other than as we mostly know it now. Some still get that opportunity. Some still make themselves available. But I have to tell you a couple of little stories that happened back in my early stages of AA. One is there was a Mrs. Knapp's nursing home down on 11th Avenue South that would take, when she had an empty bed and didn't have anybody else to fill it, she would take an alcoholic. Fine, thank you, James. She closed her nursing home when she got too old to run it, and she called the Five Points group and she said, "I have a gallon jug of formaldehyde left over." And for those of you who've never experienced formaldehyde, it smells just like all the ether escaped out of a pressure device in the operating room just about. It was a liquid, highly addictive, would kill anybody to drink it until they decided that that would help them through that particular night. Well, the group had a meeting about whether to accept that gallon jug of formaldehyde where we could keep some people from going into DTs. The end result was we didn't accept it because we didn't trust each other who might be. That kind of goes on. But anyway, I just think of some little things like that that were back then. The gal that called up one time said, "I need somebody to come see me." Said, "Don't send no damn female and make sure he brings a bottle." You know, this sort of thing. I don't know. I just think that my congratulations to Five Points. My appreciation for these people that went before me. My appreciation for all the people who are still in this whole wonderful journey together. And I'm going to hold these notes and pass them on, and I hope somebody will come forward. I've had a little help from a number of people. I called a couple of people and asked them to help add some names to this. And what I did was add the names of those people I knew when I came in. I had them mostly. But if somebody can come forward and tell me other things about all this, I would appreciate it. There's a name you should know about. There's Guba. Guba Vest. Guba said they came in AA and they told me when I got here, if I was patient, I would find all my lost marbles. And he said, "Finally, I realized I never had but one marble in the first place." And he said, "I've been all right ever since." There's Joe, the Frenchman. Could not chase the women. God knows they had trouble getting sober around him. That's a little bit of taking inventory, but Joe knew that too. And we talked about it. There are all kinds of other names of people that I've known in here. Boy, some of the most remarkable people and creatures, interesting folks, grand people that I've known over the years. I'm going to leave it at that. It's been my part of it's been a wonderful journey. I think AA's journey for 55 years with Five Points Assistance has been a remarkable happening. And those of you who are here 40 years from now, please find some of these notes and pass this on. Thank you. Thank you again, by the way. Thank you for your talk.